Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WJLA 7 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Studies point out that we are losing our ability to communicate and connect with others because of several factors, actually, especially our use of electronic devices. And then, of course, COVID came along and set us in a state of isolation, a loss of connectivity to the people around us. Are there answers to these problems? Well, we're going to talk with someone who's going to introduce a new word to your vocabulary, empathy. We're going to tell you what it means and how it can apply to you and to help you get back with those people that you've lost your connection with, how to interact. I can't describe it because I'm going to let her do it. My guest is Jill Robin Payne. She's a licensed psychotherapist. She's been on our program a number of times. She's the author of two books, the latest one being Empathy, which is, by the way, the illustrations are lovely, and another book. So we're going to talk about it. Jill, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley, for having me. It's great being here.
It's my pleasure. Okay, now I know that you're coming up with this word empathy. Isn't something you did overnight. So tell us your journey and how you got there. What made you write the book and what started you off on this looking at the way we're connecting to people?
Well, my specialty is relationships, and I think everything is relational. We're having a great relationship with our media right now. There's no static. And so I've been working with a lot of clients with relationships, and I had noticed that there was an increase in social anxiety. The more that we were inundated with social media, I found that people were getting more anxious out there talking to people. So then I started studying Sherry Turkle, and she's a MIT professor. She has been doing research, Shirley, for 40 years on how technology is negatively affecting us. It has, of course, it has positive. She was studying the negative on the one-on-one and group interaction that it's been causing. And so I even had a show on KPFT talking about this. And so I've been doing research myself with my clients and just with people for the past 10 years. And about 5 years ago, I said, you know what? We need to empathize more and we need to do more face-to-face and banter. And so I was thinking, what word could I come up with? And I came up with empathy and I trademarked it. And so it means banter with empathy. And banter is just basically chit-chat. And they've done research that if you just face-to-face see people and you're talking with them, that in itself can increase empathy. So that's how I came up with it. And then I wrote a book on it. So that's how I got to get that word.
Okay. So empathy is a combination of two factors, learning to banter and bantering with empathy. So the banter itself is small talk. It's not necessarily serious talk, or it can be, but generally you advise staying away from religion, politics, and sex.
So,
no, I don't mean staying away from them. Staying away from them as part of your banter. Sorry about that.
Right. So when you are, that's funny because when you first start to meet someone, you want to banter because it's a dance. And so you want to go slow so you get to know their movement and their rhythm. And then you learn how to follow where they're going to go and what direction they're going in their conversation. So bantering is a fun process of just getting to know someone and then knowing. Empathy is also knowing when is the appropriate time to talk about sex. When is the appropriate time to talk about politics? And so there may not be one. So is right there. So this is the whole process. And so what I did is I got this book, Empathy, and I said, you know, Shirley, how can I attract people to read the book? And I said, you know, anime is really big right now. Adults, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds are into these animated characters, and they're called anime. So I invented these characters that are in between Disney and anime. And as you said, they're adorable.
They are saying, so I'm in love with the dog. I'm in love with the dog.
Everybody's in love with that dog.
Bow is absolutely cute.
Right. Well, it's Bow. And Bow,
Bow I'm sorry, excuse me.
Together. You're not the only one that does that. And so it can go either way. And so Bow, people are liking. And you know, Shirley, that is my dog. That is the dog that I rescued in a place called the Fifth Ward in Houston, Texas, which is not a great area to be in. And I rescued that dog, and that is Bow. So Bow helped me tie everything together, so I thought that might be really something good in the book. So I have Beacon, Brighton, and Bow. Beacon is the fraternal twin brother of Brighton, and he's a minute older, and he is the beacon of light. He looks like a lighthouse. You know, he has that nice striped shirt, and he guides the way and brightens life. And so Brighton, of course, is the sister, and she's enlightened by Beacon. And Bow ties everything together, helping everything make sense. So you've got a leader, a follower, and a compromiser. And those are the three types of personality in the world. Even if you have an instigator, Shirley, isn't that a leader? It's just not a positive leader. So this way people can empathize and relate with whatever character they like. And they follow these characters through a fictional story, doing non-fictional communicative techniques. And so it makes it fun to learn.
Well, you know, I had gotten two copies of your book, and I shared one with a friend. And let me just tell you what her comment was, which I thought was just outstanding. She said, "It looks like something I would read. First off, it's not too long. And secondly, it's very direct, and it's fun to look at." You know, and this is a younger person. This is a gal in her mid-30s. And she said, you know, I'm going to read it. And I thought, that's awesome, because that's really part of the audience that is so tied into, and especially the younger people who are so tied into their devices. You know, I have an example for you. I want to tell you what I saw. And it, my husband and I commented on this. We were at a restaurant. It's been a couple of years ago. And we were at a restaurant sitting outdoors. And at a table adjoining ours were four what looked like teenagers, younger people, somewhere maybe junior high, just or starting senior high. There were four of them. They were sitting at a table, beautiful day. Each of them had their phone out and were sending messages on the phone. I did not see in the time that my husband and I were there, I did not see them ever talk to each other. And I thought, my God, that is a terrible thing. They're losing this beautiful day. They're losing the interface with their friends, chatting face to face. And what an awful thought. But at any rate, on that note, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. You're listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Robin Payne. She is a licensed psychotherapist, frequent radio guest, and author, lecturer, and also I should reveal a friend of mine. So proud to say that, Jill. Anyway, let's go back to talking about how this is impacting us and what the steps are that we can do. You outline a number of things in your book. You talk about talking to people with empathy, meaning we've got to learn to listen as well as talk at, right? We don't want to talk at, we want to talk with.
Exactly. And I wanted to even touch back to what you had said about those kids at the table. And that's how come I made this book. I made this book where the concept, you just look at the book and it's enticing. It's enticing because of the cute little characters. It's enticing because it is short. And so you know that you can finish it and be successful and empowered. And this is the whole reason I wrote this book, because the kids today, and I'm not even just saying kids, I'm going to say 40-year-olds and younger, and a lot of us are getting, quote, addicted to our devices. They even did MRA scans, Shirley, showing that every time we get a like on a post, that the same region of the brain that when we eat chocolate or we win money lights up. And so
really?
And so And they did this on purpose. And I say they, I say the people that have created the internet, they did this. And if you watch this documentary on, it's called Social Dilemma on Netflix, it'll explain all that. So that is how come I said, you know what, after this COVID and us being inundated so much with being on the internet, not being able to touch people, to be in the same presence of people, and losing the ability to be social. And so that's how come that it motivated me to do this book.
Well, you know, I've read that social media developers admit that they're trying to make it as addictive as possible. So that you're telling me that when you go online to do something and you're enjoying it and it is lighting up those brains, I mean, I could go eat chocolate instead.
You could. And so the thing is, we just need to be aware of this. And so there's something called the Goldilocks principle. And basically, you know, that story of Goldilocks, it was just, you want to keep everything balanced. Just right.
Yes.
And so we need to learn how to control technology, not let technology control us. And that's what the book's about. And the book's about just getting out there and being able to talk and making it fun. And even in the book, she uses some of the, or I say she, that's Brighton. Brighton uses a technique that is recommended to increase empathy, and that is, leave your device at home for a little bit. Just be free from your device and be in the moment. So she puts her little cell phone on the bike. And so, and taking time to practice doing one task at a time, which is what they do in the book. And so, and to do some face-to-face and to disconnect and recharge. And so we're not saying get rid of technology. We're just saying that we need to do other things besides technology. The main purpose of this book is to promote getting along and discussing things versus ghosting and canceling. And so what I noticed with my client, Shirley, is that there was a lot of ghosting for the past 10 years. And that is different than canceling. It's when you know somebody one-on-one, you've had a relationship with them, and you may have said something to them that they misconstrued or they were offended, and they just shut you out. They cancel you. They get you off of Facebook, of Instagram. They block you. They don't call you. They don't return your phone calls. And it's very devastating. And what it does is it leads to something called unfinished business. And canceling is even more devastating because that is you're kicked off of society. You're shunned. So this book promotes getting along and discussing versus ghosting and canceling. And it doesn't mean we need to love each other. It just means we're just respecting each other.
And that is something that we have to keep in mind, because it seems to me that we do lose sight of other people. And I'm sure that it's devastating to be canceled by somebody. I mean, that's got to be a hurtful thing.
It is. And so what happens is when you have low empathy leads to people not being as kind as you would if you have empathy. They've even done studies saying it leads to criminal behavior, violence, sexual offenses, aggression, antisocial behavior. So we really need to work on this empathy. And I don't think empathy is enough. So that's how come I created this Bempathy, which is banter with empathy. And it's
I love the fact that the book is actually only 42 pages long.
Yes.
And it's amazing what you say in those 42 pages or 40 pages. It's just astonishing. I read it and I kept saying, wow, this is easy to do. I can hear it, understand it, read it, and enjoy it at the same time. And that's pretty hard to do in a book.
Right. And so that's what I have heard. People have said the way I wrote it, the language fits people from 12 years old and up. And anybody can read it. It's easy read. And what makes it easy, Shirley, is I put the pictures, like you have a picture on one side, then you have reading material. Then you have a picture on one side, so it flows. And so even the pictures tell a story.
Yes.
Even if you look at the, yes, there you go.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the techniques that people need to know, learn, and develop, because this is really the critical part. You're learning this technology, you're learning the new phrasing, the new words, you're learning empathy, but if you don't put it into use, then it's not going to be of much, pardon the pun, use to anyone. So I think all of that is so significant in what you've developed. So let's just take a minute, though, to identify ourselves and let our listeners know that they are tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Robin Payne. She is a licensed psychotherapist, author, and lecturer. And we're talking about a term that she's developed called bempathy. Now, as Jill has explained, that is using banter with empathy to get connected to people, to learn about new people, to connect to our friends, and so on. So anyway, Jill, pick up on how we can employ these techniques. So we go into a group where there's someone that we've had a problem with. How do we relate and use your techniques? Well, you got to have them with you. You got to think about it, right?
Well, you do. And so what I did was I created, there's six elements that you need in bempathy. And so if you, when you read the book, the last chapter even explains everything. When you're reading the book, it'll explain these six elements. One is commonality, comfortability, connectedness. Those are three. And then there's three more that people can go and read the book. So
okay.
In commonality, one is commonality. So one of the things with when you're bantering, you are talking to that person and you look to find some commonality. By finding commonality, you also are learning to empathize. Because if you tell a story, Shirley, about your son, and I go, wow, I have a son too. I have just found commonality with you. I've just made a connection. So not only did I find commonality, I have connected, and therefore I have become more comfortable. So that's an example of how the book works.
Okay, now are you envisioning people using these techniques more with reaching out to new people, or using this also with our friends, people that we know? Where do we employ these techniques?
The book is to hone in on ourselves, on others, and on communication. So we can always get sharper. We can always learn more. Matter of fact, I talk to people about their boundaries. Boundaries we are constantly working on. So when we are doing social media, that is one of the issues. There are blurred boundaries, and virtual reality is coming into existence now, Shirley, where that's just messing up with our minds. So it's very hard to be mindful when you're in virtual reality because you're just in another world in your mind. So just practicing our boundaries and practicing this with people that we know, that will make it easier for people that we don't know.
Jill, tell us, how do we put the information that you've taken and provided to us, how do we put it into use? I mean, we're looking at so many things going on in our world today, what with COVID and the many variants and all of the stress. How do we do this? Do we need to sit down and practice this every day? Can we practice it with ourselves and our family? And how do we put it into use? Because you pointed out in some of the information that you sent me how people are suffering, how many people are having more emotional issues, and what's just happening to us in general because, first off, it's a stressful situation we've been in for almost the last 2 years.
Right. So that's how come we need to do baby steps. So there's something called helplessness theory, and it just basically we can learn to be helpless. We can learn to disassociate with people. And so this is something that we need to relearn. Empathy, you can relearn it. So do it in baby steps. I would get out with people that you know. even just going out to a park and to start being in the presence of people, surely sometimes that is anxiety producing to people. So you search within yourself where you want to start with this. My book is a really good start base because it sort of gives you some ways to get out, and then you take those and practice with people that you trust, because you want to build an environment that can motivate this. So that's what I tell people.
I like when you said with people that you can trust, because this means that you can be yourself, you can express yourself, you can have a little bit more freedom than if you're dealing with strangers. But you know, so many of us, I mean, we're working from home these days. That can be such a stressful thing if you don't have some social outlets, and you can't, as you've pointed out, you can't depend on your devices to give you the interaction that you need. And, you know, as we went back to the kids at the table who were on their phones, they were not talking to each other, which was, to me, was astonishing. You know, but you mentioned to leave your phone behind. Do you know I can't leave my phone behind? If I left my phone at home, I've often turned around and gone back to get it. Is that something wrong with me? Or should I go eat chocolate?
So we can do baby steps. For instance, before you go to bed, put your phone in another room. When you're eating supper with your loved one, put your phone in another room. When you're going places, take your phone with you, leave it in the car. So these are things that are baby steps, so that it's sort of a security blanket. You know that it's there if you need it. It's close by. And that way, that will give you some security while you're building trust in this other environment.
I have to say, I usually don't interrupt people if we're at dinner or something. I just, you know, I'll turn my phone ringer off or something like that. But it is something that I've gotten so used to having with me that I feel like I'm partially dressed if I'm going out without my phone, and I'm sure that's true with an awful lot of people. Well, we only have a couple of more minutes. Let's talk about the book, Bempathy. Where can people find it?
Well, they can find it on Amazon, or they can go to bempathize.com, and it'll tell you a little bit more about the book, and then you just hit a little tab, and it'll take you right to get the book. And it's also on ebook too. That's where.
Okay, so they can get it electronic and carry it around with them. I like that idea.
On their phone. There you go.
Yeah. On their phone. Yeah, that phone that we're supposed to leave behind. No, we're not doing that.
They won't lose it.
That's right. It's been a real treat having you on and talking about some of the techniques that we can employ to better relate to our world. And I think we're going to have to take some steps back, and as you say, take baby steps, getting back there in the world, being a participant, and feeling comfortable with what we're doing. So thank you so much, Jill. As always, it's been very interesting and informative for us, and we do appreciate your time in coming on the program. You all have been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Jill Robin Payne. She is a psychotherapist, a licensed psychotherapist. She also does equine therapy and a number of other interesting things. So anyway, take a look at the book. You'll enjoy it. I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun, and I think that it'll be good for everybody. The book is Bempathy, and you can find it on Amazon or at her website. I'm Shirley Rooker. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on the Federal News Network, and we thank you for joining us. And by the way, you can reach me at shirley@callforaction.org. Hope to hear from you. Thank you.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WJLA 7 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.